everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. I have a couple of things to tell you. First, this is a pre-recorded show because I'm not able to be in the studio to broadcast live because I will be in court. I have been selected to be an alternate in a criminal case. I am serving as a potential juror. I was in court all day today, and I was selected. So now I've got to spend the week on a jury. I was going to be interviewing an author, Catherine Bukowski. She has a book called The Community Food Forest Handbook. And I was really looking forward to talking to her and talking about this wonderful concept that she has. And I will be bringing her on the program on October 16th. We had to reschedule because I'm not available. But who is available with me right now during this pre-record? I am very lucky to share the Responsible Eating and Living headquarters, or our home, with Gary DiMattei.
Hey!
Hey, welcome!
Karen, Thanks. I'm back so soon!
Yes.
Hi, everybody. It's Hallelujah. Great to be back here on It's All About Food. You know, I really feel like I'm also an understudy. You're an understudy for the jury.
Yes.
And I'm an understudy for Responsible Eating and Living's radio broadcast guests when you can't interview them, right?
I think I'd rather call you a swing.
Okay, yeah, I'm a swing.
A swing. Now, for those of you that aren't
familiar.
Hey, we're the swinging gourmets. That's why you're a swing. But for those of you who aren't familiar with theater, or maybe you haven't really read your programs carefully when you do go to the theater, there's the regular cast, and then there are people who are understudies who go on when some of the cast members can't make it. And then there are the swings. And I think they're the most fun because they get to play a whole bunch of different roles.
All kinds of different roles. And they have to play all kinds of different roles. They're always going on as someone else. So they have to learn 4 or 5 or 6 or 12 different roles.
Is that what you're doing today?
Yeah, I am. But it's an exciting time to be talking to you because this is the It's All About Food. And this is fall. We're in autumn. Autumn in New York starts now.
This is our favorite season, or
right.
It's my favorite season.
And we have so much to talk about. So many great things happen in the fall with respect to food.
With food.
Yes.
Yeah, all the fun holidays are coming up.
And the harvest.
Yes.
And root vegetables and squash and all of the great
It's time for us to take our annual trip out east to the
to the farms on Long Island. And I'm sure you have farms in your area. And if you don't, come out here and come to our farms. And we'll go to your farms.
And we can buy squash.
Buy squash, buy gourds, buy all kinds of wonderful things that you can bake and simmer and braise and roast. And
the nice thing about squash is you don't have to refrigerate them, and they can hang out for a really long time until you're ready to cook them.
And they're fun to stuff. We have so many great stuffed squash recipes, especially with the big Thanksgiving holiday coming up. If you've ever been to our website, we have an amazing Thanksgiving section. So we'll be talking about that today. We'll also be talking about grains, and we're going to be talking, because grains are great in any time of year, but especially in the fall and in the harvest. And Karen's going to talk to you a little bit about the difference between some grains and other grains, and
between grains and pseudo grains.
We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about Oktoberfests. There's a lot of Oktoberfests happening. And that means another form of grain.
Drinking beer.
Beer. Fermented grains. And so that's a lot of fun. But anyway, it's great to be back here talking about food with Karen Hartglass. And what else is today? We went out to one of our favorite vegan restaurants here in Forest Hills, where we live here in New York City. And that's in the borough of Queens. Not sure if you know where Queens is, but if you've ever been to New York, it's that place you drive through after you land at either JFK or LaGuardia.
They're both in Queens.
They're both in Queens.
Yep.
And you have to cross a bridge and get into Manhattan. So
what we learned today at Green Zenfony is that today is a very popular Chinese holiday.
Mid-Autumn Festival. Or Mooncake Festival. And I'm sure some of you have had mooncake.
Yeah, and the owner of Green Zenfony, she told us it was called something like Xing Chao Ji.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I apologize for any Chinese-speaking people out there for butchering the name of that holiday.
For vegan butchering the name of that holiday.
But one of the things she was kind of frustrated about is this is a holiday where not only do you celebrate the harvest and you have gratitude and Thanksgiving, but there's also some moon worshiping going on, and it's supposed to be a full moon tonight, and we can't really see it. It's cloudy.
It's cloudy here. So if you're looking at the full moon, just know that this is a big holiday, the Mid-Autumn Festival. Mid-Autumn, if you follow the lunar calendar, I guess the lunar calendar, the Mid-Autumn Festival is also known as the Harvest Festival, and it's celebrated by the Chinese and Vietnamese people. So happy Mid-Autumn Festival to all of you who celebrate. And we wish we could see the moon because we understand it's full. And mooncakes. If you're eating mooncakes, hopefully they're vegan and they're traditionally eaten during this festival. And they're an exotic sweet. And what was the bean paste? Or
lotus seed, I think.
Lotus seed paste. Yeah. Ooh, that sounds... We have to make
it. It's gooey.
Yeah.
Well,
that sounds really good.
At some point, we have to try and make that.
Yes. And, you know, I was actually looking at a recipe for mooncakes, and the only thing I saw that wasn't a vegan ingredient, and I haven't really looked at it closely, was the egg wash that they brushed it with before they baked it.
And so, we have plenty of vegan egg wash.
Yeah, the alternative for me is now my go-to is aquafaba.
Aquafaba.
And I know you talk about beans a lot on this show, but I mean, you can't talk about beans enough. And autumn dishes, a lot of them have baked beans, and you know, you can really start breaking out all the fabulous bean dishes.
I talked a lot about beans last week, and I'm really pushing the beans, and we can't talk about beans enough,
right?
But I want to talk about grains.
Yeah, so our first stop is on the grain wagon.
It's the grain wagon. Well, I didn't want to give the impression that grains aren't good to eat, because they are. Now, my favorite doctor, Dr. Furman, tells us we can eat an unlimited amount of beans, but we can't eat an unlimited amount of grains.
Right.
But even still, we can eat a lot of grains, and grains are healthy. And when I talk about grains, I mean cereal grains and pseudo grains. So can we talk about that for a minute?
Yeah. Okay. What is a cereal grain?
A cereal grain is a seed from a grass. So, To begin with,
they're all seeds.
They're all seeds. So pseudograins and grains are seeds. And you can go to a lot of websites, and they mix this up all the time. So if you're confused, I don't blame you, because when I decided I was going to talk about grains and I was doing some Googling, I was like, what are people talking about? They don't know what they're talking about.
So just, they're all seeds. It's safe to say that they're all seeds.
Exactly. You can, if
you
they
can
haven't,
sprout them.
You can sprout them. That means they're a seed. We
right.
all know what seeds are.
Right.
Okay. So the cereal grains are grasses. Like when you see...
So when they sprout, they would grow into a grass, the cereal grains.
Yeah. You know what wheat looks like.
Right. And, okay. Yeah. So wheat is a grass, of course.
You know, even corn is considered a grass.
Right.
But there are many, many grains that are...
corn is a seed.
Seeds and grasses. Okay, the pseudograins are not grasses. They are grown in these like shrubby bush...
Right, shrubs and bushes and...
not grasses.
They're not a blade of... Like one seed would make one grain of grass.
Yeah, well,
I'm not...
I'm not a farmer.
Right.
And I can't say that I've seen all the different
grasses.
You're
not a grass farmer.
No, I'm not a grass farmer. Anyway, I just read and look at pictures. But the pseudograins consist of quinoa. I think everybody knows quinoa is a pseudograin.
A pseudograin.
Buckwheat. Is a pseudograin. And amaranth.
Amaranth. We've played with amaranth.
We tried to pop amaranth, but the seed is so tiny that we couldn't put it in the air popper.
Our air popper spread it out all over the
apartment. Yeah, I think you need to pop it in like a covered fry pan or something.
Yeah, that would probably be good.
Next time.
You know, when we dumped it into the air popper, it just went everywhere.
But I've read that some people say millet is a pseudograin. Wrong. Millet is a cereal grain.
A cereal grain.
Yes, along with barley and rye and spelt and teff. Those are all cereal grains. They're from grasses.
Right. And doesn't teft and some of these other, is it teft, T-E-F-T?
T-E-F-F.
T-E-F-F, pardon me. Isn't it true that teff can be grown in weird places?
Like it can be grown in very dry places.
Dry places like Nevada, for example.
Like Ethiopia.
Like, okay, Ethiopia.
And Nevada, yeah.
Dry places.
Yeah, I had thought
this.
And tell
us, talk, because this is fascinating. Teff is fascinating stuff. You talked about that when we did Preaching to the Fire. We talked a little bit about
teff. Because... Well, I think I talked about it after the fact because I didn't have a lot of time to talk.
I'm sure all of our listeners have seen Preaching to the Fire.
And if you haven't, please go and watch it.
It's a movie that we made.
It's free.
Karen's trip to Nevada to talk to 200 cattle producers.
It was around 250, Karen.
250 on the eve of their annual bull sale.
Yep.
And we can talk about that later if there's time. But that's a fascinating film that you could see for free on our website at responsibleeatingandliving.com. We're celebrating that film this month.
Yeah, you know, I should slap it back on the homepage so people can find it.
Yeah, I shared it on the website. But anyway, it's there, so check it out. And if you don't have time to watch the film, watch the trailer.
The trailer's a lot of fun.
It's only 40 seconds, and it's fun.
Yep.
And it'll make you want to watch the film.
Anyway, we get back to
teff? We digress. Let's talk about
teff. So we had this idea that
teff is fascinating.
One of the concerns that people had, rightly so, when I spoke to them at this educational event before their bull sale, was what would they do for a living if they weren't raising cows in feedlots? They had this idea. It was the craziest thing. They were all saying that there's nothing that they can do on this land.
Right.
Except grow cattle. But the land isn't suited to grow cattle either because they have to ship the food in to feed the cattle. And they're all like hanging out on dirt. And it was just a disaster. But they could grow teff.
Right.
And in this climate where more and more people are gluten intolerant, sensitive to gluten, or have celiac disease and can't consume gluten, we need to be growing more gluten-free grains.
Right.
And teff is one of them.
And you know, I just found out that teff is also known as, I think its official name is, and I'm going to botch this pronunciation, but it's Euragrostis teff.
Let's just call it teff.
But it's also known as lovegrass.
Ooh.
Yeah, lovegrass. So it's an annual grass, a species of lovegrass native to Ethiopia and some other place that I can't pronounce.
Great, Gary.
Yeah, so that's cool. So, but teff, you can actually do a lot with teff. And what is one of the things that you really like that's made with teff?
Yeah, so in Ethiopian cuisine, they don't eat with a fork and knife or chopsticks. They use this spongy fermented bread, which is made from teff.
Right.
And I've never had the authentic kind, which is made from just teff. I have the kind of Americanized version, which is mixed teff and wheat.
Right.
Yeah.
So what you do is you get these grains or these pseudograins, and the traditional thing to do with them is to steam them or boil them after they've dried, and then they rehydrate, and a and a classic example for that would be rice. And so, but also a lot of these grains are ground, like teff,
in a flour,
and that's how this cake that you just mentioned, what is it called again? This Ethiopian thing that they use with their fingers.
What's it called? It's like injera or...
Right.
I forget what it's called.
Yeah.
You'll help me in a minute.
Yeah.
There's a great cookbook, too. It's a vegan cookbook called Teff Love.
Oh, right.
And we talked about it on this show a few years back, but there's some really great recipes in there that I keep saying... I'm going to get to, and I haven't, but we really should do some Ethiopian food sometime soon.
Right.
But let's talk more about whole grains or intact grains, because you mentioned teff being ground into a flour.
Yeah, so just to clear this up, it's injera.
Injera.
I-N-J-E-R-A is the traditional accompaniment, and then it goes on.
It's like a crepe. And it's spongy.
Right.
And it's fermented.
Right.
And it's got a great
taste.
And
it's really good. And you have it at Ethiopian restaurants.
Yes. Do you remember?
I do.
Yeah.
The New York Ethiopian restaurant we went to?
In Evanston, in Chicago. Was that the first time you had Ethiopian food?
That was the first time. Yeah. So tell everybody why we were there.
You know, I can't stand bringing up my cancer story all the time, but it is Ovarian Awareness Month, September. Are we aware of ovarian cancer? I can't stand these cancer awareness months.
Yeah, or any awareness month. It just seems...
Because I think we're aware.
We are aware.
The thing that we're not aware of is what we can do to... prevent cancers or reduce risk of cancer.
Go vegan!
And that's, but eating a whole food vegan diet.
Yeah,
it's not just vegan, because Oreos are vegan, and they're going to cause cancer.
I'm having a problem saying whole food now, too, because everybody's going to think we're talking about the market.
Boo.
The market that sold out to Amazon.
Which is now by Amazon.
Which now sells Cheerios and Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yeah.
I mean,
the children's cereals that are contaminated with glyphosate.
Yes. And what is glyphosate?
You know, we're not answering.
I hope you're all taking notes out there.
Wait, we've got to, like...
We'll get back on track.
Okay.
But Whole Foods is selling Cheerios and Honey Nut Cheerios and other horrible cereals now. We're on the subject of cereal, right?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So we can tie this
I'm
in.
I'm sure I mentioned this before, maybe even last week, but Roundup is a herbicide that is used... on Roundup-ready crops like genetically modified soy, alfalfa, corn, and Roundup, this herbicide, is supposed to kill the weeds that grow around these crops. And the weeds, being made by nature, are smart, and they're getting resistant to Roundup, so you have to pour more Roundup on these weeds to get rid of them, and actually farmers are going to more toxic herbicides to kill them. The key ingredient is glyphosate, which has been labeled as a possible carcinogen by the World Health Organization. Now, some people think it's not just glyphosate, but it's glyphosate in combination with other ingredients in Roundup that's really problematic. But it's not just used for an herbicide. It's used as a desiccant. Who figured this out? I don't know. But to harvest wheat more quickly... Roundup is used on the wheat crops. So all of these conventional/industrial, I hate using the word conventional when we talk about foods that are grown that aren't organic, but they're considered conventional, they're industrial. They have big residues of this glyphosate. So all these wheat-based children's cereals...
Contain poison. Lots and lots of poison.
And probably some other grains, too.
Right. So you can't talk about grains without talking about grains that are poison. So what we would want to preface the whole conversation about seeds, grains, teff, all of these things we're talking about is buy them organic.
Now, on that same subject of poison, unfortunately, even if you buy organic, it's not going to guarantee that they're not going to have some toxins in them. And what I mean by that is there are... metals and minerals that we shouldn't be consuming.
Metals and minerals.
Metals and minerals. that get into some of our plant foods because the soils are contaminated.
Right.
I'm talking about arsenic, cadmium, lead, tasty items like that that we don't want in our
yummy.
Food.
Yummy, yeah.
But for the last, I think it's started in 2012 when Consumer Reports gave out some data about arsenic in rice, and it really shook the world because so many people all over the planet live on rice, subsist on rice.
Right.
And then
I know I do.
Do you know, I learned that there are over 40,000 varieties of rice.
Oh, sure.
I didn't know that, but I was...
I didn't either.
I always talk about how there are over 45,000 varieties of beans, and I just read there are over 40,000 varieties of rice. How come we don't have access to all those different varieties?
Well, we have quite a few.
Variety is the spice of life, you know.
It truly is.
But, you know, they keep simplifying. It's like the 1984 of foods,
right,
where in the book 1984 by George Orwell, the government in charge was simplifying the vocabulary and taking words out of vocabulary, making them
right.
not Such legal to use anymore. And our food system is that way, too.
Frightening.
Where we have access to less and less variety. Yes, there are over 40,000 varieties of rice alone, and there are other grains, too, and there are probably thousands of varieties of them. So there's many different things
out
there.
We love grains, but back to the subject
now. Back to the contaminated soil. So it was discovered that there were high levels of arsenic in many varieties of rice.
And we know why that happens.
Well, there's a number of reasons, but one of the reasons is that arsenic is given to chickens that are grown in factory farms that are getting sick because they're treated so horribly, and they live in their excrement and filth, and they're in these dense situations, and that spreads disease. Then they feed them arsenic, and then the arsenic gets in their poop, and we're going
to
talk more about poop later.
Oh, yeah. We've
it's one of my favorite topics.
Smiling piles of poop.
But that poop is used as fertilizer, and it gets into...
The poop is used as fertilizer, and it gets into the rice, and that poop is tainted with arsenic.
Arsenic, yeah. And there's arsenic also from other things, too. I think cotton crops were grown with arsenic. So there's a lot of arsenic around,
right.
And it's in the soil, and it gets in the rice particularly. Now, does it get into other foods? Possibly. I don't know if many other foods have been studied for arsenic, but definitely rice takes up a lot. And what we discovered was there are certain varieties that have less arsenic, and depending on where they're grown, they may have more or less.
Mm-hmm.
And brown rice, unfortunately, has more arsenic than white rice because the arsenic tends to hang out in the exterior part of the brown rice where all the nutrients are.
Wow. Okay.
So there are things that you can do.
See how fascinating this program is. Are you telling your friends about It's All About Food? A wealth of information right here at your fingertips.
Yeah. So there's lots of things that you can do. Again, variety is the spice of life, and I think it's important to eat lots of different foods. There are some people that rinse their rice, and you know, we don't do this at home, but maybe now that we're talking about it, you might be inspired, and I might be. But soaking your grains,
right,
like we soak beans,
right,
is a good thing to do.
Sure. And rinsing and then
rinsing and soaking, and then cooking the grain. Now this is a double-edged sword.
But you said double-edged sword, and I like that really a lot more than double-edged sword.
Anyway.
Oh, what fools these mortals be.
Yeah, exactly. We're fools.
I was just about to say that.
So they say out there that you can cook your rice in a lot of water. Now, normally we use 1 cup of rice and 2 cups of water, a 2-to-1 ratio. But if you use a lot more water, so the rice is swimming in water,
right,
and then when it's done, you pour off the water, you will reduce the arsenic content. However, you'll also reduce the nutrient content.
Right.
So that's the double-edged sword.
Oh, what fools these mortals be.
Now, there are lots of things that you can do. You can choose the rices that have the lowest amount of arsenic. I still like brown. So when we buy rice, we buy brown basmati from California because that was relatively low compared to all the rices. And then there are the other grains that don't have as much arsenic, like quinoa and millet. And we love millet.
Yes. And red rice and
then there's red rice and black rice. And we do eat more and more red and black rice because they are so nutrient dense. They have something in it that I like to say called anthocyanins.
Ooh,
that's fun to say. Anthocyanins.
Let's all say that together.
Anthocyanins. Can you spell it? A-N-T-H-O-C-Y. A-N-I-N-S.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Correct.
So foods that have a deep red or purple color have anthocyanins.
And we've talked about purple sweet potatoes before.
Purple sweet potatoes, red cabbage, the red and purple berries. These all have anti-cancer fighting properties. They boost your immune system. They're absolutely yummy.
And the discussion of cancer cannot not happen without talking about these foods.
Yes.
Right?
So red and black rices, like, and some of the black rices are called forbidden rice, which is a fun word.
Because here's the thing.
They have anthocyanins.
Yeah, and that's really important to note. And also what's really important to note is you can get information that will save your life on this program.
Okay, but I have to add one more thing.
Yes.
But it's the double-edged sword thing.
I'm just tying it in with the cancer month.
Beautiful.
Cancer Awareness Month.
So depending on where you buy your grains, and this includes wild rice and forbidden rice and red rice and all the wonderful rices, depending on where it comes from, what country it comes from, there might be cadmium or lead in the soil, and it might get into your grain.
Right. Well, that can be said about just about anything that grows in the ground, right?
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
So the best thing to do is to try to find a very...
The best thing to do is move to another planet that Earthlings haven't destroyed.
Well, then there's also now this there's also this veganic farming.
Yes.
Right? Where
yes.
they don't use poop. And this subject today, one of the many subjects, is poop.
Yes.
And we use poop to fertilize our soil, correct? And there's veganic gardening that doesn't use animal poop.
That's right.
Uses human poop.
Well, no, it can, but it doesn't have to.
Right.
It uses a variety of different plants and ground covers, crop
right.
covers, and just working with nature rather than against nature.
Right.
And we've talked about that a number of times in a number of different ways on this program. And
now
I
let's talk about, are we done with grains? Have we covered all the grains?
Have we covered everything about grains?
Grassy grains? I have a great grain mix at the Responsible Eating and Living website.
You know, we haven't posted it as a single recipe. We talk about it a lot.
We talk about it in the...
It's in the Healthy World Burger.
Healthy World Burger. Check out the recipe for Healthy World Burgers at ResponsibleEatingandLiving.com. There's this grain mix that we do for that. It'll change your life. You can season that. You can mix it with different things and make our burgers, and then you could also eat it plain. It's a staple in our refrigerator, especially in fall, autumn, because it goes well with so many different things. And so if people didn't want to eat rice because they were afraid, but they did not want to give up grains, what grain would you say would be the safest?
Millet. Millet and quinoa. Quinoa is a pseudo grain. Millet is a cereal grain.
So, and I've done a lot with millet. I mean,
you make cheese out of millet.
Millet is great. You can grind it, make millet flour. There are so many wonderful things that we do with millet flour. It makes a great base for custards and all kinds of wonderful things. So, hey, eat some millet. And quinoa, I mean, it's kind of getting abused. And,
yeah.
You know, the price has gone up and people... But millet's still relatively stable in the as far
yeah,
as the
well, the,
volatility.
The problem with quinoa, I think we're learning how to grow it in this country, although I'm not sure where it's being grown. When I last looked into it, I knew that it was challenging to grow. And when the trend about quinoa started, we were getting it mostly from Bolivia, right. I believe. And it's just one of those things where the developed world, the Western world, gets a food that they like, and the people that are growing it end up not eating it and getting lower quality foods, right. because they can't even afford to buy the food that they're making.
Oh, what fools these mortals be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you made some maki the other night, and have done for many, many times, out of...
Millet maki.
Out of millet, and it's just as fabulous.
Millet maki. Yeah, what was fun about it is, if you've ever made vegetable maki, which some people call sushi, but it's the roll where you take a sheet of nori seaweed and put the rice in it, and then whatever you're filling it with, and you roll it up with a bamboo sheet, a bamboo mat, and you cut it into little pieces. Avocado maki,
yeah,
and
a lot
kapa
of people,
maki.
As you mentioned, call that sushi, right?
And it's typically seasoned with sugar and rice wine vinegar.
Right.
And Gary and I, we're moving to be as whole as we can, as holy as we can.
As holy. Hey.
W-H-O-L-Y, holy. And eat whole foods.
W-H-O-L-E, whole.
And really trying to get away from the sugar.
Yeah, yeah. I've cleaned up my act a
You
bunch.
Certainly have. We're going to talk about
we're
that, too.
We're going to talk about that later.
So
yeah.
I thought, how can I make my sushi rice, which I'm
Bless
not
you.
Using rice because I'm using millet, but how do I sweeten it? So I use apple cider vinegar because we have a lot of that. I think we also have rice vinegar, but I didn't bother. I just
I think
use
we're out of rice vinegar.
Okay, we have to put that on the list, will you? And instead of sugar, we have apricot butter.
Yes, we make a lot of apricot butter.
We buy organic dried apricots.
Turkish apricots.
And we take a pound of them and mm-hmm. cook them in 3 cups of water.
Right.
Till they're soft, blend it up, and it makes a wonderful apricot butter. We use it all the time.
Fabulous.
And I used that, a little bit of that, to sweeten my millet with the vinegar, and it made great sushi rice, even though it was
millet. It was fabulous. And and you can also make all kinds of different butters, not just apricot butter. You could make
prune butter.
You can make
raisin butter.
And you know, one of my favorites is dried peaches. You could make dried peach butter, dried pear butter, fig butter with dried figs. So, and all of these things are going to be plentiful because it's autumn.
It's autumn in New York.
Or wherever you live. All right, so we've talked about that. Millet is the safest, or quinoa.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some really, really high-end rices out there. Is that the plural for rice? Rices?
That's what I say. I don't know.
Rices. That we're finding out are pretty safe, like the red rice and the black rice and the forbidden rice.
Well, but it depends on where they're from because, and it's hard to know if they
have
cadmium
any questions,
or lead or, but.
Let us know at Responsible Eating and Living. Send us an email at info@responsibleeatingandliving.com.
No, it's info@realmeals.org.
Thank you. I knew I was testing you. Info@realmeals.org.
I got the domain Real Meals because it's easier to, it's shorter.
Right.
Info@realmeals.org.
So,
there we go.
We've talked about grains. Are you good with grains now? We can move on?
Yes. We
All
can,
right.
We can move on. And if I think of something else, I'll bring it up.
Terrific.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
What do you think we should talk about next?
Yeah, well, we touched on it, and I think we should talk about it a little more, and that's how you're really moving to a cleaner diet.
Yeah.
Than ever before, and I'm like, I'm celebrating.
Well, you know, the thing is also that we need to talk about, because it's autumn, and there are some holidays coming up. You know, one of them is Halloween, and there's that thing called candy and sugar. And I've just been reading and learning so much since we've started this organization called Responsible Eating and Living. And I don't think giving sugar to anybody is really responsible. I think it's pretty irresponsible. But again, it's something that you can't really get people to not do.
Yeah, you know.
And so I have been making it my own thing to try and eliminate. And again, we talk about the apricot butters and all of the sweet butters that we make with fruit, with natural fruit. Now, there is sugar in fruit, but we're not talking about that sugar. We're talking about the processed, refined sugar.
Yes, thank you for clarifying.
That is made in a very interesting way by, I don't even know the process.
So
but.
Back in April, I think, March or April, when it was Easter time, I ordered, without your knowing, a bunch of different vegan candies, and I made up your Easter basket.
Right.
And you still haven't eaten some of those candies because I didn't know that you were thinking about not eating refined sugar at that point in time.
Right. It doesn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, and I mean, remember, I used to do lots of maple syrup, even, and agave, and occasionally brown sugar on my cereal. And if you look at our daily life on Karen's blog, you'll see that we eat a lot of oatmeal. We eat a lot of oatmeal. And so there was a time when I was putting maple syrup on my oatmeal, which, you know, still sounds good, but I've had to just make a personal choice to just cut way back on that because I don't think it is good for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't feel like it's something I wanted to do. And the same with caffeine. I pulled back on that. So I've not only gone vegan, but I've also cut out caffeine, chocolate, and I'm just boring. I'm really boring now. And this is from someone who I, you know, used to consume all kinds of those things.
Yeah, you really made a tremendous transition, but it's taken a decade to get there.
It has taken a decade.
Yeah.
It's taken 10 years. But you can't be in a hurry with this kind of thing. And that's another fallacy out there that, you know, we want it quick, we want it now. Fallacy is the wrong word, but, you know, that's another misconception. That's another thing that we've bogged ourselves down with is doing it tomorrow, like a 30-day this or, in 2 weeks you'll lose 10 pounds kind of a thing. And, so I really have.
The interesting thing, though, I know you never stand on a scale, but I do. Eating this way, the pounds just melt away.
Right.
So
right.
I've lost 5 pounds.
Right.
I'm not sure where I lost them, but the scale says I lost 5 pounds.
Right. So yeah, we've cut way back on a lot of things. And the one thing that I'm surprised at myself is that I'm just steering away from oil.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to like to cook with a little oil. I used to like to put a little oil in the saute pan, and I don't even do that anymore. So
I'm like smiling from ear to ear because I didn't want to force it on you. You knew what I liked.
Right.
But I would eat your wonderful food, however you made it.
Right. No, I know.
Yeah. This is exciting.
Learning to saute a whole new way. But you can still saute without using oil.
A whole new way.
Right. You can use stock. You can use water. You can use a lot of other things other than oil. But, I mean, occasionally it's okay to have a little oil. Occasionally it's okay to have a treat. Like if somebody's birthday and there's a little piece of vegan cake there, I'll participate.
We went to a restaurant in my brother's neighborhood.
Talk about this.
Called Thai Golden in Carmel, New York.
Carmel, New York.
And they serve Thai food. It's for everyone. But what's nice about it is they really understand people's needs today. And they offer vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free. A lot of the servers there are vegan or vegetarian. They really get it. And they have these raw vegan, gluten-free desserts that are fantastic.
Amazing.
And they're made from, you know, fruits and nuts.
Yeah. And then
they're sweet enough.
So talk about the three different, it's in your blog, but
yeah,
there were three different ones. There was a mango, and there was this one that Barry kept, your brother kept.
Yeah, he keeps,
it was called
Try Some. He likes to make puns, so he just kept talking all day long until we got there about try some.
You have to try some.
Going to try making some.
Yeah. So how would one make a raw dessert? Basically with fruit.
Sure. Right? So there's like a crust, and we have some raw dessert recipes at responsibleeatingandliving.com. My favorite is the raw berry pie. I don't know what we call it.
Raw berry pie. Yeah. Raw.
And I use berry. So the crust is typically half nut seeds and the other half dried fruit. So I like to blend up maybe a cup of almonds and walnuts, or if you can't eat tree nuts, maybe pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds. And you mix it with a cup of dates and raisins and figs, whatever dried fruit you like. And you put them in a food processor and you blend them together and it makes a ball and it forms a dough.
Right.
And you press that in the bottom of your pie plate. And then the filling can be lots of different things. I typically like using like a cashew base because cashews make this rich cream.
Right.
If you don't want to add a thickener to it, you could add psyllium husks. There's another fun word to say.
Right.
But that will thicken it for you. Or you could just freeze it and serve it kind of chilled. And I think
that's what they did.
They were frozen.
So it's almost like going into one of these Caravelle or Baskin Robbins and getting a frozen
ice cream cake. Sure.
Only it's good for you.
It's good for you.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of iced with like a strawberry coulis.
Right. So in day number 1,319 of Karen's blog, What Vegans Eat, you can read all about our day upstate, where we started with a trip to
New Paltz,
because we're looking at places up there possibly, or we're not quite sure where, or we just might stay here, who knows. But we thought we would take a trip upstate and do some responsible eating and living scouting for a new location, and went to New Paltz and went to Lagusta
Luscious's commissary.
Yeah, and talk about Lagusta. She makes chocolate, right?
Yeah, so I had her on the show maybe 5 years ago. She makes these wonderful chocolate confections.
Right.
Lagusta Luscious, and she does it out of a little place in New Paltz. And you can order them online, and they're starting to populate some stores, but they're just yummy cordials, or whatever you call them.
Stop there now, because she's expanded a little bit, and she has a little restaurant that also serves regular food, not just chocolate, but she sells her chocolates there. And if you've never been to New Paltz, it's kind of a college town. Kind of funky, but cool, and a lot of people, you know, think it's neat, and they a lot of college students and mixed with the community. And then we went to this Thai Golden and had some vegan Thai food with Karen's family and these
raw pies. Desserts. Yeah, that was really good.
And the Try Some is the one you should try first. And there's a mango pie.
And I had the matcha green, which really wasn't sweet.
Matcha green.
Did you have a taste of that?
I did. It was not sweet at all.
No, it's
sweet enough for you, though.
It's for the sophisticated palate.
Right. And let's talk about that a little bit, because right now there's a lot of people that their palates are
not sophisticated.
They're eating these really, really, really sweet things with all of this, you know, refined and processed sugars, and then once they get off of it, your senses start to come back, and so you really don't need all that sugar,
right.
And that's why something like this is really even too sweet sometimes, some of these raw pies and these vegan desserts.
Yeah.
I know that when we go to places like Vegan Treats, or when we used to go to places like Vegan Treats Bakery, some of that stuff would be actually too sweet.
Yes, for us, yeah.
Right.
Not for you.
Not for me.
But maybe now.
Now it would be, I'm sure it would be, but... So what do I do now? I eat dried fruit. That's my
That's your candy.
Raisins, figs.
Yeah.
Apricots or apricots, whichever you want to call them.
Apples, bananas.
Fresh fruit, berries.
Yep.
That's
sometimes we make a frozen smoothie thing with frozen bananas and berries.
And I'm okay with that. It's all good. Yeah.
Feels good going in and going out. Now let's talk about going out.
Wow, what a great way to end this conversation is to talk about poop.
Yes. Now, I like talking about bowel movements and poop, and we've talked about it a bunch of times on this show. When you're transitioning from one diet to another, and it doesn't have to be going plant-based, it could just be any kind of change, you'll notice it first in your poop.
Right.
And your microbiome, your gut, it kind of goes crazy and like, what are you doing here? What are you sending me? And it doesn't know how to digest. It takes a while to stabilize, and it's reflected in the texture of your poop, which may be too hard or too soft or too smelly.
One of the funniest things was when we were at a Dr. Furman, we were performing there.
Yeah.
And there were these people. What was it called? It was a weekend retreat or a...
It was one of his health immersions or something like that.
It was for they were there and they were eating all of the meals prepared for them. For
and
the
we were doing our swinging gourmet show for
and
them.
We were the final act. But I walked into the restroom and there was a lot of trombones being played.
Men in the stalls, and they were complaining, right?
Well, they were making noise out of their... So they were probably experiencing what you're talking about now, which is a change of diet, a very healthy diet, and they were letting it be known.
Well, here's something that I don't think I've talked about on this show, but maybe I have, and that is, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Fecal transplants.
This sounds interesting. I'm all ears.
Yeah. So this is a new field of study for cures of a variety of different illnesses.
Okay.
So a lot of the work with fecal transplants, and I'll tell you what it is in a minute, but I think it's pretty self-explanatory, is with C. diff, which is one of these terrible illnesses that people get that requires very strong antibiotics. And sometimes because of antibiotic resistance today, it's difficult to cure. And some people suffer, and I think it can kill you. I mean, it's a terrible illness. And they're using fecal transplants to help cure people. So fecal transplants, these are... I'm tongue-tied, but it's poop, folks. You take somebody's poop and you put it in somebody else.
Oh, my goodness.
So they do...
And is it in a capsule form?
Well, yeah. So
like a suppository or something?
I don't know exactly how they, quote, purify it and treat it, because there's only so much you can do, because you want to get the bacteria from a healthy person into the person who has a problem.
Ah, so you want to get the bacteria in there.
You want to get the good bacteria from one to another.
Because bacteria is good if it's good bacteria.
Yes. Are you a good bacteria or a bad bacteria? The thing is, some bacteria can go both ways, you know, be like non-binary bacteria.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying. Anyway.
So this...
Our gut.
Needs this bacteria.
Our gut needs a wide, diverse range of bacteria. And because of our horrible diets today, and that includes a very limited amount of food types, because people are just eating like hamburgers and fries. They're not eating a wide variety of vegetables. They're not eating 45,000 different kinds of legumes. They're not eating 40,000 different kinds of rices and different grains. Foods are very limited. And then people are eating a lot of refined food, a lot of packaged food. The food isn't live. The food isn't full of fiber. And as a result, the good bacteria just disappear. And then some people, unfortunately, depending on how they were born, maybe didn't get the good bacteria to begin with. There's lots of information today that shows that cesarean deliveries, the baby doesn't get the microbiome that it needs from its mom by a vaginal birth. So some of the things that they're doing now in some of the more hip hospitals is they're actually in a cesarean birth, will take like a, will swab the birth canal and
right,
like
and get some of that microbiome.
Smear some of it on the baby so the baby can breathe it in and get some of that, some of those good bugs, which helps their immune
good
system.
Bugs, you
good
said.
Bugs,
good
bacteria.
Bugs. You're speaking so fast, I want to make sure everybody's picking this up. Good
yeah.
bugs, good bacteria. We need that good bacteria, so beware.
And they've found that with some people with Crohn's disease and with this C. diff.
Would these be considered autoimmune diseases?
Well, the Crohn's disease is, yes, an
right.
autoimmune disease. That the fecal transplants have benefit. And I was doing some studies with respect to melanoma cancer.
Right.
And they're even finding some benefit with fecal transplants for this type of cancer.
Wow.
They've done some studies in mice.
Poor mice.
Poor mice. And I don't support tests on animals.
No, boo.
But, you know, if there's some useful information we can get out of it, well, so be it. So the latest cancer treatments are immunotherapy treatments where people are given different drugs to help to work with their immune system rather than chemotherapy, which either kills you or kills your cancer. It's a race.
Right.
But immunotherapy is supposed to work with your immune system. And for some people, it really works. And then for some people, it doesn't.
Right.
And what they did is they tested mice and found that that there were some mice where the immunotherapy worked and then others where it didn't. And they did fecal transplants from the mice where it worked into the mice where it didn't work and found some benefits where the therapy started to work. So now they've got clinical trials where they're doing this with humans.
Right.
But this is very interesting because there may be bacteria in our guts. I mean, I'm sure there are, that help prevent disease and help us heal. And some of us may not have them.
Right.
So we can...
So we have to get dirty again because we've got this antiseptic, this sterilized environment that we're all living in now, and we're not dirty. We don't play in the dirt anymore.
This is, I think, the real message behind the smiling pile of poo.
Yeah.
The emoji, the smiling pile of poo.
The thing that we step over on the sidewalks of New York could actually be beneficial to us.
Yeah, so they've got suppositories that they put up the butt. And they also...
Let's just get right to the point,
Karen. I mean,
Karen.
Yeah, why not?
Ba-da-boom.
And then they also have a new kind that you can swallow.
Wow. So we have cleaned up so much with all of these antiseptics and disinfectants and sterilizing our hands.
Yeah, that it's killing us.
That it's killing us.
Yeah. There
and
is.
So we've got to just get dirty again.
Yeah, I
go
wanted
out and
to
play in the dirt.
I wanted to give you a website too if you're really interested in this. There's a group, I think, up in Boston or near Boston called the Open Biome. And it's a nonprofit stool bank.
Stool bank.
It's a stool bank, and they're expanding safe access to fecal transplants and catalyzing research on the human microbiome. And just like blood donors and plasma donors, there are stool donors.
Yes.
And they can make up to like $13,000 a year if they've got the right kind of healthy poop.
And that's no bull. That's not a bunch of crap. That's actually...
Exactly. This is truth.
That's the Golden Turd Award goes to...
Yeah,
wow,
so...
I mean, I know it's fun to poke fun at this concept, but wow.
You know, I'm thinking about dogs.
Yes.
And when you see dogs on the street, they're always sniffing each other's butts.
Right.
You know, and they can sniff out cancer, right? We're learning. So maybe they're sniffing for bacteria, for good
right.
biome stuff that they want to stick their nose in and get some themselves.
Right. That
okay,
is the...
I'm not recommending that.
We don't need to walk around and smell one another's butts, but if
but this
you...
is fascinating information.
This
so
is
this
good
show,
information.
This
Thank
show
you.
Is called It's All About Food. And we're talking about poop because poop is related to what you eat. It's related to food. What goes in comes out.
And it fertilizes our food, and it...
And there's good poop and there's bad poop.
Right. Are you a good poop or a bad poop?
I'm not a poop at all. Yes.
I'm not a poop at all.
And the best part... Okay, we have just like a minute left to talk about this.
A minute left?
Yeah, really. Do you believe it?
I just want everybody to know that I was just made a great uncle by my fabulous niece, Lisa. She just had a little baby.
Congratulations, Gary.
And so I am great.
You've always been a great uncle.
Yes.
But now you're a real
great
uncle.
That's just a plug. Congratulations, Lisa and Brian.
Yeah.
And little Emerson Marjorie.
Yeah.
Good.
Good.
Okay. Anyway.
Hey, thanks everybody for joining us. This was fun.
Thanks, Karen. Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
If I did, I'll have to save it for next time. I just wanted to tell you, next week, my guest will be Tobias Leonard, who wrote the book, How to Create a Vegan World, A Pragmatic Approach. And then the following week, I will be interviewing Eric Adams, Brooklyn Borough President, who is now a vegan and the most awesomest politician who's doing wonderful things with plant-based foods, and you'll hear all about that very soon.
And if any of them cancel, I'll be back.
Thanks for being my swing, Gary.
I'm
awesome.
Your swing. Your swinging gourmet.
Yes. Thanks, everybody, for joining me. I'm Karen Hartglass. Here
and I'm
with
Gary DiMattei.
Gary DiMattei.
Happy Mid-Autumn Festival.
That's right. Visit us at responsibleeatingandliving.com. Write us at info@realmeals.org. And have a very delicious week.
Bye. We'll be right back.